We pick it up where we left off. I know we're kind of chipping our way through the book of Romans, trying to get everything finished up with it. We're still in Romans chapter 6, and obviously we got a good ways to go to finish up the book itself. But it is one of the most important books in all the Bible. We've earmarked it as the gospel according to Paul. So it is a wonderful, wonderful book. And what we look at in Romans chapter 6 is really a continuation of Romans chapter 5. And I've mentioned that twice, I know, already. But it's the issue of sanctification, what sanctification is and what it is not, and how we are to receive it. And so we finished up last week looking at yielding your will over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of ties in a little bit with our prayer lesson this morning about being filled with the Holy Ghost, how you're filled with it. It's not a receiving more of the Holy Spirit or not taking more in or a second, third, fourth, fifth blessing. It is a yielding to where you're not just giving over one portion of your body, but your entire body over to Him. And so when you yield yourself over to the Holy Spirit of God, you're yielding yourself over to His will, to the will of God. And that's what we finished up with last week, was speaking of that word yield. If you'll look there in Romans chapter 6, and we're going to get into definitely down into verses 16 tonight. It's really where I was trying to, and I was trying to climb that hill last week and get there. I wanted to get into verse 16, but I could not for time's sake. But if you look at verse 13, the Bible says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Father in heaven, we pray you'd bless tonight's Bible study, our time together. When we do finish this evening, I ask you to give us a sweet time of prayer during our prayer meeting, Father, that all the requests that are on our prayer bulletin, Father, and then some, we just pray that we can lift them up to you today. Lord, that we can come and worship you in spirit and truth, dear God, that we can come and just bow our hearts, our minds, and boldly approach the throne of God, that, Lord, you may hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. We thank you for the good news, Brother Scotty and Uncle John and whatnot, Lord, and the improvements that we've seen in these answered prayers. And Father, we do want to continue to ask you to answer those prayers accordingly. Pray for mom and dad continually. Ask that you richly and wonderfully bless them. Father, we always want to pray for our village here, our local area, the local people. Lord, we pray that you'd help us have an influence upon them in the works that we're doing, Father. I pray that you would ordain them, that the Holy Spirit would go before us and prepare people's hearts and minds, Lord, that they may be receiving, Father, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. This is our plea, if you will. So, Lord, I pray that you'd assist us and help us and guide us, Lord. And you're in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do ask these things tonight. Amen and amen. So, again, just focusing on that word yielding, just to work into our point number two tonight on yielding. We're still on that subject. Last week we looked at in verses 12 and 13 of how we are to yield unto the Holy Spirit of God. I touched on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, about presenting your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is, it's our reasonable service to do that. It's our reasonable service to yield our members over to God for them to obey. And so the initial act of yielding must be taken, the initial act of yielding. And what we saw, again, was we see that the believer's body is the temple of God. And again, and this is not intentional, but it almost sounds like a continuation from this morning. This is the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's where the Holy Spirit dwells. And because of that, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because of that, we are to yield our members over to Him to obey and do that which is right before the eyes of God. And number two, we saw that the believer's body is a tool and a weapon for God. We see that in Romans 6, verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Now, by indication of that verse right there, if we can yield our members over to righteousness unto God, if we can yield our members, ourselves, our body over to God to be alive and used and worked for Him and by Him, then we can also yield our members over to sin. We can yield our members over to unrighteousness, and that's what we need not to do. So the believer's body is a tool. It's a weapon for God. It's a temple of God. And we ended last week in point number three, that sin seeks to master the body of its own use. Sin looks to get us to yield over to itself so it can be used of the devil. So how do we yield? We looked at that. We looked and understood that the body is the temple. The believer's body is a tool. And sin seeks to control it itself. So secondly, under the yielding subject, I want us to look at why we are to yield. Why is it important that we as believers tonight yield ourselves unto the Holy Spirit, unto God Himself? Let's pick up in verse 14 with me, if you will. We're going to read down to verse 23, and then we're going to break these verses together in a few different points and subpoints. The Bible says in verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So why are we to yield? Paul gives us three reasons of our yielding, three reasons why we should yield. It's easy for us to say, "Well, guys, we're under grace, we're not under law, we're under grace, we got eternal security, we've got all these things going for us. Why don't we just, live and let live, do what we want to do, do what makes us feel good and this and that?" And there's a reason behind that. Not only are you going to yield yourself unto sin, to be servants of sin, unto death. You say, "Whoa, hang on a second, preacher. You said I'm eternally saved. Can't lose my salvation." That's true. But you sure enough will yield yourself over to a service to the death of your own flesh. We see that when Paul enacted church discipline upon the one vile young man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved," he said, "in the day of the Lord Jesus." Okay? So that young man had committed an atrocity of sin. The church hadn't dealt with him. He says, "Listen, you're going to have to deal with him. You're going to have to purge him out. You're going to have to remove him from the church because he's committed an act of transgression that is bringing reproach against the church. And by doing that, you're going to deliver him over to Satan. You're going to deliver him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, but he'll still be saved. Not going to lose his salvation, but he's going to run his life amok." Now, consequently, that particular young man, we find out when Paul writes back in the second letter that the purpose of church discipline served its purpose well. Paul said, "Bring him back. He's repented. He's made things right. He's done right. He's asked forgiveness. Now, I tell you what, let's not allow him have overmuch so sorrow. Bring him back into the fold because he's done right and he's seeking to reunite." That's a blessing there, and that's the purpose of church discipline. The purpose of church discipline is to purge out the sin, purge out the division, purge out the discord, but the purpose of it is to get rid of it so the camp is protected and the church is protected, but with the hopes of eventually reconciling with them through true biblical proper repentance. Saying all that to say this, when you look at yielding, we are to yield to avoid those situations. We are to yield to the Spirit of God and yield our lives over to God so that we aren't in the situation of being instruments and tools for Satan in the midst of sin and unrighteousness. So Paul gives us three reasons. The first reason that we find in the verses that we've read is that we are to yield our members over to God for His favor. For His favor. Look in verse 14 and 15. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but God, he says, but under grace, God forbid, he says. Because God's grace, because of his grace, we ought to obey him. Think about that for just a second. Our world has a tendency to look at meekness as weakness. Our society today has a tendency to look at grace and then take advantage of it or take it for granted. That's an earthly, that's a natural, that's a carnal response to grace. But in reality, because God has had grace upon us, because God has given us eternal life, because God has forgiven us of our sins, because he has given us an eternal Savior, because he has protected us and provided for us, for that purpose alone, just out of sheer gratitude, we should yield our members to him to obey because of his wonderful grace. I mean, we should yield our members over him to obey them for favor to continue in the victory of the believer, that we don't depend on our own efforts so we can benefit from the abundant supply of God's grace. God's grace goes more than just salvation. God's grace goes into our lives, into our providence, into our protection, into our promotion in this world today. That's what God's grace will bring into your life. And so therefore, in finding favor with God, we should yield our members over to him unto righteousness. Secondly, we ought to yield our members over to him for righteousness, for freedom. For freedom. Look in verses 16 through 20. Let's read those again. And again, 16 is one of the key verses I wanted to focus on. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thankful that ye were not but God be thankful that ye were the servants of sins, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, read this and listen to it, ye were free from righteousness. Well, think about that for a second. We today, being made free from sin, all right, by the grace of God, we are to yield our members over to him to obey just for freedom's sake. See, before we were saved, we were a slave to sin. We were in bondage, but free now. We're free unto righteousness. But when we were lost, we were free from righteousness. We had no righteousness associated with us at all. But now we're free from sin unto salvation. After salvation, we became the servant of Jesus Christ, at least inwardly, and therefore it needs to reflect outwardly. And we should live for God with the same enthusiasm as we live for the devil, as we lived for sin. I mean, gospel will shape our character. The gospel will shape our livelihood. It will shape our actions, our attitudes. The way we treat people is the way we want to be treated. That's what the gospel will do in our life, guys. I mean, I deal with so many people in this area here to where they cannot rationally wrap their head around the idea of sinless perfection, and they should not, because we're never going to be in a state of simple perfection in this life until we are taken out of here. Until we are united with Jesus Christ for all eternity, that's when we'll be like him. Until then, we are still going to be in this body of sin. But so many people in the world can't quite understand that since they're not as bad as that person over there, and they're judging themselves saying, well, you know what, I don't do this over there, I don't do what they do, I try to treat everybody well, and I try to be nice, I try to be kind. And I know people, guys, that are lost as a day is long, and they wouldn't wrong their fellow man to save their life. They just wouldn't do it. So cognitively, they cannot understand why a just God, a fair God, a loving God would send a soul to hell because maybe they didn't make that decision to believe on him. They just don't understand it. And I get that. But the reality is this. No matter how good we are in this life, no matter how well we are in this life, the bottom line is the question must be answered, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? He died for us to give us the grace. He died for us for a favor. He died for us for freedom from sin. No matter how minute it may be, it's still a transgression that's broken the law of God, and therefore it must be punished. So I'm saying all that to say this, guys. even after you were saved and you were born again, and probably I would go ahead and say more so, the actions and the attitude and the way that you live your life, the way you speak to people, the way you treat people, the way you talk to people, those things are being judged by this world. And you sit here and you may say, well, you know, I'm saved. Devil's got nothing on me. Demonic this, demonic that, can't touch me. Yes, it can. If you yield your members over to them to obey, you're going to obey them. Okay? No drunkard out there. We have these streets, especially when the weather's warm. We have these streets right here in the nighttime, especially in the weekend, that are rampant with people that are so strung out. Nisi saw a woman the other day literally bouncing across the street. How, she didn't get hit by a car, which is, there's grace right there. Bouncing off cars, bouncing off walls. Got into a big argument with the hairdresser across the way here, and then finally the police showed up, and we don't know what happened to her. I don't know if they hauled her off or not. But guys, do you think she woke up one morning and she said, I cannot wait to get hooked on heroin or whatever drug she was on? Do you think she woke up one morning and says, man, my goal today is to go inject myself with an opiate and get hooked on it to where it is my, I'm the slave to that drug for the rest of my life, and I ruin my body, I lose my purity, I ruin my mind, I ruin my testimony, I destroy all of these things, literally, basically just destroy their lives. They didn't set out to do that in one day's time. They set out to do it in little teeny increments. And it started by yielding one member, yielding another, until finally they don't have the sin. The sin's got them. It's no different with drink. It's no different with pornography. It's no different with carousing around. It's no different with fighting. It's no different than cursing, swearing. All of them are the same. No one set out to be the extreme in any of those things. But incrementally, one by one, they yielded their members over to obey. It started with their body. It went with their mind. And eventually, the entire body become an instrument of unrighteousness. You say, well, preacher, can they be saved and still do that? Absolutely. 100%. 100%. A person can be saved, born again of the blood of Christ, know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they open up that door, guess what? He's going to come in, and he's going to take control of them, hands down. And we got to be aware of that as Christians. We got to be able to protect ourselves and guard our heart and understand that if we yield our members over to that sinful lifestyle to obey, we're going to become its servant and obeying them. We don't have it. It has us. So freedom is a reason why we should yield to the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be free, you know? I don't want to be in the bondage of alcohol. I don't want to be in the bondage of anger. I don't want to be in the bondage of pornography. I don't want to be in the bondage of anything. If I want to addict myself to anything, I want to addict myself to Jesus Christ. If I addict myself to the Word of God, and if I addict myself to Jesus Christ and His ministry, everything else in our life, from the gym, from the public sector, from the coffee shop, from the church house, from the street, everything in our life will revolve around bringing glory to Him. When we say and do things, we try to bring glory to Him. When we work hard, we will try to bring glory unto Him. People see something different in you when you're not in bondage to the things of this life. So thirdly, we find that we should yield for fruit's sake. For fruit. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You probably know that verse like the back of your hand, Romans 6:23. We have in our little life death tracts that we pass out. Just got more printed up, by the way. New plan of salvation on the back. I shouldn't say new. A little more clearer, I think. It's more legible as well. So load up and pass them out to people. But we're talking about fruit. Every master, some way, shape, form, or fashion, pays a wage. Sin pays a wage. God pays a wage. Sin pays a wage as the Savior pays a wage. Satan pays a wage, and the Lord Jesus Christ pays a wage. That's just the way it is. If you have a job, you work a job X amount of hours, you get paid X amount of pay. If you're committing sin in this life, you are going to pay the wage of sin. Now, in the spiritual realm, the wages of sin is death, as it's tied to Genesis chapter 3, was that when Adam and Eve transgressed the law of God, they broke the law, they disobeyed God, death entered in. The Lord said, In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But it was a spiritual death. Adam lived to be hundreds of years old, okay, physically. But it was a spiritual death. Mankind died. We speak of the sin bringing forth death. So the wages, the payment we receive because of sin, no matter how minute, no matter how small, is death. And the other aspect of it, a sinful lifestyle brings forth death. It brings forth death. It brings forth things in our life that we don't even want to speak of, that we're now ashamed of. So verse 23 is more of a warning so much to the saved, but it can certainly be applied to the unsaved. Sin, that old master, shamed us, and it paid us a wage of death. God, the new master, makes us holy and brings to us eternal life. And that is the gift that's been given. And again, sin pays a wage, but God gives a gift. It cost us absolutely nothing. It cost him everything. So what are we to know? The three things that we looked at in Romans chapter 6. We are to know that we have been crucified with Christ and that we are dead to sin. We need to know those things. And I mean K-N-O-W, know those things. Not only that, we are to reckon. That was point number three that we made. Reckon. This is the fact that's true in our own life. We are to look at what is imputed or what is accounted for. It's an accounting term, to reckon. And then lastly, we need to understand in Romans chapter 6, this continuing teaching of sanctification is that we are to yield. We are to yield our members over to Him to obey. Our body is the Lord's, to be used for His glory, not our glory. Our body is to be used of God in a righteousness sake, not unrighteousness sake. It's to be used in the manner that will bring glory and honor and praise to Him. The decisions and the choices that we make in our life today, as young men and women, as not so young man, the decisions we make today is going to determine what life we have tomorrow. And it doesn't matter age, our placement, or where we are in our careers. It does not matter whatsoever. Every choice in our life today has a consequence in the days, weeks, and the years to come. And so today's the day that you got to choose wisely. If you try to choose nothing at all, that's even worse than making a decision. So we have to choose, guys, to yield our bodies, yield our members over to God under righteousness so that it may be used to Him to bring glory to His name. Bow your heads, if you will. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for the completion of chapter 6 in the book of Romans tonight. We ask you, Father, to please bless us. Help us make those decisions tonight. Lord, we are going into a prayer meeting here, and moments after we say amen. And Father, I ask you to help us contemplate the words that we've just heard. Father, I pray for those that are on a fence post, those that need to make a decision in their life, or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter what decision it is. Father, I pray that whatever it is will be done to your glory. Father, I pray that we don't enter into any kind of choice or decision, Father, with an open end of uncertainty, but more or less that we enter into it with the understanding the perfect will of God. So tonight, Lord, we know that our bodies are yours, and we know that they should be used to your glory. Tonight, Lord, we know clear through the Word of God that this process of sanctification is to reckon ourselves dead to sin, to know that we are saved and born again by the blood of Christ, but to yield our members over to you that we may obey them to the fullest, that we may bring you glory in what we do. And Father, we thank you for the free gift. We thank you for the gift of eternal salvation. And while we were yet sinners, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, and we thank you for that. So, Father, I pray you'd continue to bless the rest of our meeting tonight, bless our prayer meeting tonight. And, Lord, we give you honor and praise. We thank you for who and what you are in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. All right. Praise the Lord. A little shorter than normal.